Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey everybody, it's JMS, and I am so excited to tell you my very first special is coming out on April 29th. Go to punchup.live/JMS, subscribe there, it's 100% free. You will get first access on April 29th when it drops over there. I can't wait. And also, if you want to see me live, I've got a bunch of shows coming up. I'm headed up the California coast and not coast. April 10th, I will be... I'm headed up the California coast and not coast. April 10th, I'll be in San Luis Obispo. April 11th, I am in Pleasanton, California. And April 12th, I am in Santa Barbara. Then I'm headed to Alaska. Alaska, I'm coming your way, including a world premiere of my special on the 28th, the night before it comes out in Anchorage at Bear's Tooth. It's already filling up. It's almost halfway sold. Get in there. We've got amazing sponsorship by Sweet Caribou and Alaska Chip Company, and it's going to be so much fun. You're going to get to see it before everyone else. There'll be a Q&A. I have stand-up from one or two of my very funny friends, and it's just going to be a great time, so please don't miss it. I'm also coming to Juneau, Ketchikan, Skagway, Cordova, Fairbanks, Talkeetna, Palmer. So head over to punchup.live/JMS and get your tickets. They are selling really fast. Alaska, you are... really shining right now. I'm so happy. I'm so thankful. A lot of people wait till the last minute. It stresses me out. And if I could stress anything, that would be so helpful to any artist you love and support. If you want to see them live, get the tickets the minute you find out about them. It helps us out so much. I know that's not always possible, but when it's possible, I'm actually running some deals right now. If you buy your tickets before April 15th for Alaska, because those are the ones I have control over because I put the tickets up myself, they are a little bit cheaper. So that's the deal. And also Tampa, use the code JMS. I will be there July 3rd. It's a pre-4th of July party. Use the code JMS. Save $5 if you buy before April 15th. Also, London, foggy London town. I already said that last time I recorded one of these, and I know you hated it, but you won't hate the show. June 1st. Don't miss it. My first time in London. Don't let it be my last. More dates to come in the fall, but the most important thing, please subscribe to my Punch Up so you can get my specials, so you can see when I'm coming near you, so you can see other comics near you. And if you have not already, please, please, please go leave a rating and a review for this podcast. We're having fun. And I'm having fun. And I love you. And I'll see you out there. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Hey Idiots podcast. I'm Jessica Michelle Singleton. I'm a stand-up comedian and the chief executive idiot over here. When I'm not rambling directly to you, I'm asking all your prying and sometimes ignorant questions to my guests, who are often experts, sometimes fellow comedian friends, and occasionally absolutely batshit insane people who have somehow tricked me into thinking they're knowledgeable about a topic. This podcast is 50% curiosity, 50% insanity, and 100% hilarious. If you like unfiltered rants, prying conversations about a variety of topics, and enjoy a lot of laughter with your learning, you're in the right place. Welcome home, idiots.
Hey, idiots. It's me. I'm back. We're back. We're here. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I do have a backlog of episodes that I haven't released with guests. And I'm going to start those again next week on Tuesday. I'll front load those. And then I want to do more of these. I have been a mess, but I am feeling a big shift. I feel... good. I started working out again. I think that's really helping. If you're not working out, start. Do it for your brain, if not for your body. You know, I'm not going to be the first. I've worked out 2 days in a row and now I'm like, you guys got to make sure you get it in. You gotta stay fit. Dude, that's what I do. I will do something once and then be like, this is my whole personality for like 3 days and then burn out. But I am exponentially better in my brain, in my mental health. When I've moved my body, I had a great day yesterday. Before I go into that, and then we'll talk about what's going on in the world and get silly. I do want to say, if you are listening and you're in Los Angeles, I have a charity show next Thursday, and I need you to be there. It's going to be fun. I want you there for me, but I need you there to raise money for Stop Soldier Suicide. It's a nonprofit. committed to stopping soldier suicide. It's exactly what it sounds like. Our service members, active and veteran, have just a 76% higher likelihood of killing themselves, to put it very not lightly. Sorry if that triggers you. I'm not going to not say the words. That's not going to happen here. I'm not going to go unalived. It has not once stopped someone from suicide by using that word. They're at higher risk. And I lost my brother Nathan, as some of you know. And I don't know. I want to do something to help people who are still here who might be struggling. So this is what I'm doing. And I don't believe anyone listening to this is so dumb and close-minded that they would associate me caring about people who are in the military with anything political. I think it's really unfortunate that people will lump caring about the troops as like a partisan thing. I feel like I don't hear it all the time, but I do hear it. Or just the way things have gone lately, it feels like if you have an American flag, people are like, well, what does that mean? And it's like, it's an American flag. What the fuck do you think it means? It's a flag. But all that to say, veterans and service men and women are humans, and I care about humans. And while I don't always agree with the things our government does, I am never going to be pro-war. I definitely don't agree with several of the choices throughout history we've made. I don't hold the people in our military responsible for that. They are just doing their best to do what they feel is right to defend our country, even if we think it's fucking stupid that we're doing these things. They are defending our right to be able to express that. And more importantly, the thing that I think gets left out of conversations like this is that not everyone in the military is like waving a flag from the rooftop, USA, USA. A lot of those people they came from maybe lower socioeconomic classes and really didn't know what to do. They didn't have a direction with their lives, and the military gave them a way to possibly find some and, you know, make some money. The military promises, it makes a lot of promises to people, frankly. And sometimes I think the GI Bill, they go, yeah, they're going to fund your education. It's like, yeah, they promise a lot because they're assuming people aren't all going to make it back to take advantage of that, which is a horrifying truth. But that aside, it's just regular guys and gals, a lot of it. People like us who just didn't know what to do, so they thought, I'll do this, and my country will take care of me. And I don't want to get too heavy. I didn't mean for this to get heavy. It was supposed to be a light thing, and I promise I'll move on quickly. But there was a protest against Donald Trump, the government, the whole presidential party, on March 15th, specifically by veterans across the country, because a lot of the funding that goes to the VA to help our veterans was on the chopping block. And it is not lost on me that I lost my brother on March 12th before he even had the opportunity to, you know, take part in that or see what the outcome was. And while I firmly believe it is the government's responsibility to take care of veterans, I think it's the government's responsibility to take care of all of its people. I think we pay taxes, we should be taken care of. We should get healthcare, a million things. I don't think in failing to do that on their end, we should just go, well, that's their job, so we shouldn't help people. I think we should help people. And veterans are people. And servicemen and women are people with families and humans that are just trying to live their lives. And this is a nonprofit that helps them find a way to live them in the best way and get the resources to know that their life is, in fact, worth living. So that's what I'm doing with my grief at the moment. But this fucking, it's a government's job. I'm not doing that. It's a government's job. Okay, you're the shitty roommate who would just let a place stink. You're the passive aggressive. I'm not doing that because they didn't do this. I've been taking out the trash the whole time, so I'm just going to stop taking out the trash. And yeah, should the other roommate take out the trash sometimes? Sure, but you're just going to let the world around you rot out of spite? You're fucking stupid. Anyway, next Thursday, May 22nd, it's an early kickoff for Memorial Day. Look at it that way. It's at 9:30, which I know is a little bit late. Have a late coffee. Come to the show. So if you are in LA or if you know someone in LA, please, please, please send them to my show. I obviously love having people at any and all of my shows. Speaking of which, I will be announcing late summer and fall tour dates very soon. But of course, I want them to come for me. I would love for them to be like, I'm here for you, among a lineup of killers, including Tim Dillon's going to be there. He's the fucking funniest person in the world. And Brad Williams, so incredible. And a couple others who I just haven't fully locked in, if I'm being totally honest with you guys. They're going to be great, whoever they are. It's availability and tracking people down and between touring and figuring out who's in LA. What, it doesn't matter. The point is, already a killer lineup with the three of us. Do it for the charity. Do it to help someone feel better. Forget about the bullshit and the this and the that. And we're all struggling in different ways. Isn't it nice to, like, you can go do something to help yourself, help your own mental health, going out for a night of comedy? One of the best things you can do in terms of an easy action you can take to help yourself feel good. But not only that, you get to leave feeling like a hero because your money is going to help this nonprofit stop soldier suicide. You're literally stopping soldier suicide. You are a hero. You get a medal. There won't be medals. I should give medals. Anyway, it's good to be here. Good to be back? Question mark? I hate saying question mark. I want to be consistent. You know what I really need as a producer? I need to stop. I need to figure out having someone either do this or going into a studio. I've just been trying to save money. I'm trying to save money left and right. Nate and I are going to move probably into a new place. We're going to downsize a little. We have this extra bedroom, which is my podcast studio. But obviously, especially if I went somewhere to do it, that would alleviate the need for that. But it's like, I can make a space anywhere. I don't need the second bedroom. And we're just at this place where it's like, you know, money's coming in. Let's really save and build for our future now that we're in a what feels like a financially stable present. I'm knocking on wood because, I mean, he's fully stable, but comedy's always, is she a trip? Yeah. So that's just part of it. Moving, what a fucking nightmare. I've done it so much that it should be easy, but I get so obsessive over looking for places. It's like consumes me. Also, I'm going to be gone for like half of June, which is maybe when we'd have to move. I'm really, really ditching out on Nate with like, what can I do? The trips are already booked. But I did tell him, I don't know how much I'll regret this, but I'm saying this on the record. I am gone for 2 weeks in June, a little over 2 weeks, in fact. And I told Nate in that time, because I'm so ADHD, I have things. I don't know if anyone else is like this. I'm not a hoarder. Let me say that. And saying that, a lot of you are going, sounds like this woman is about to tell us she's a hoarder. I have little things, little trinkety things, a lot of clothes, accessories that I rarely wear. I'm definitely not a minimalist. I have more things than Nate. But the thing is does anyone else have this? You go like, I'm going to go through my stuff, maybe spring clean or get rid of things. And then you're pulling stuff out that you have not touched in years, but you're like, one of these days. Or just, you never know. You never know when I'm going to need that. And I'll never need it. But my fear is as soon as I get rid of it, a week later, I'll go, you know what I really need? That fucking thing I got rid of. But I did tell him, while I'm gone, if you just got rid of things, I probably wouldn't even be able to tell you. Unless he's getting, I'm not talking about like major furniture or like things I need. But I'm like, if you like got rid of some of the little knickknacks, I'll probably never know. Or in 3 years, I'll go, whatever happened to that thing? And you'll just go, I don't know. And at that point, he wouldn't know. It's like, I have two Ignorance is Blessed mugs still in wrappers sitting behind the camera that I'm filming this episode on. That's not even the name of the podcast anymore. Why do I still have those mugs? They're not, by the way, and anyone who got them, thank you for supporting. They weren't done well. I was so disappointed. And really, it's my own fault. I'm so all over the place that I rush. I don't do attention to detail. I don't take the time to like get things right in terms of the little things. It really, aside from my material, which even that I could be better about it on, it's like I don't pay attention to the tiny little nuances and it makes a fucking difference. But I just don't know how. What can I tell you? I want to talk about a couple things. Let's talk about some idiots in the news that you guys have sent me and I haven't gotten to get yet because I've been crazy. Honestly, but I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling motivated. I feel like, I don't know what has happened in the last like couple days. Cut to me 3 weeks from not finding out that I'm just in some sort of manic episode. I don't know. I know I'm grieving. I know that's part of it. But I think even prior to losing my brother, I've just been in this sort of like dark headspace about comedy where I wasn't feeling good. I can't even find a better word. I want to use a better word than, like, I just wasn't feeling good. But it's just, like, I felt critical of my material and the things I was working on. I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I didn't feel good. It felt like when I went places, this is like mental health stuff, but it's like I would go to clubs and just feel like, and this is totally, I know logically, this, I don't say this isn't a thing at all, because comedians are shitheads and will like sit in the back of the room or whatever. So-and-so. Everyone thinks they're so fucking great and everyone else sucks and it's exhausting. Why can't people root for each other? Like, I'm at the point where, like, I've tried so hard to help people so often, and then people are just like, so many comics are just so negative and like afraid if they even say someone did a good job, it will somehow impact their own personal career. So it's not like completely without merit, like a crazy level of paranoia, but it's like, oh, I wouldn't have like a set where I feel like I absolutely crushed and I'm like, the comics in the room are probably like, she's fucking not funny. Like, whatever, dumb, insecure shit. And it was just sort of spiraling. And I think it happens when I'm in LA too long, because it's like people doing a million other things. You start comparing yourself to people who are doing stuff you don't even want to do. You're like, yeah, I don't want to EP a game show. Why would I be jealous of that? But you just go, I'm not doing enough. They're doing so much. But all that to say, I don't know. I think Alaska helped. I think just getting out and going home from the place I grew up and seeing my friends, being out in nature, but also getting to do shows where people were so pumped. They were so pumped. All of these shows. It really felt like I was at a new level, which is a mind fuck when you're like in the thick of very complicated grief. And then you go back to the place you came from where you grew up with that person that you're grieving. But then there's these people who are like, oh my God, you're here. Holy shit. And it just gives you this feeling of, obviously that feels good. Obviously it feels good. We all want to be wanted, at least in a small capacity, to have that from an audience as a creator. You're like, oh, this is great. But it is like carried over into this sense of freedom where I go, oh, these people are so on board. I can relax into the thing that I do, into my comedy, into creating, being creative and bringing my comedy to life. And I'm going to say this in case it's helpful to other people, specifically comedians, but I think it could translate to other creative things or maybe just like a job, but specifically something that's like your skill set you're good at, that is kind of an obvious thing, but it was a light bulb moment for me. Yesterday, I had a great day in terms of doing things that fuel the fire inside of me. And that sounds so fucking cheesy. And I didn't look at my calendar and go, this is really gonna fill up the tank. Ah, good wholesome day of good comedic work to do. But first of all, I did hot yoga in the morning. Hey, basic bitch, let's go, girl. Working out, calling back to it. I recorded an episode of a podcast with a really cool tarot reader, and that'll be coming out soon in a few weeks. Moki, she was really cool. Stop being such a prude. It is not evil. Anyway, Moki, I don't even know if you guys can hear that. I'm getting upset at her. Just so sad. I did a voiceover audition for a really cool new series. I filmed an episode of a cool new series that's being created. I did a show. I think I even did something else in between that was comedy related. And I went and had a super fun set at the Kookaburra Lounge. If you come to LA and you're looking for a cool spot to go to, it's a comedy club. They also do music nights. It's such a cool vibe. It's right on Hollywood and Highland, which that area itself is a fucking clusterfuck. It's like tourist explosion. But it's tucked away in this building called Ovation. It's just like a big mall situation on the corner, but it's like tucked away on the fourth floor in a back corner. It's so swanky. It's such a good room for comedy and music. And I just was present. And it's a club where I love the owner, Katie Cazorla. She's a comedian, a friend. And so she runs the club, but under, like, she knows what it's like to be a comic. And I don't know if it's that. I can't tell you. It's just like a je ne sais quoi type of thing. But I feel so comfortable there, which isn't always the case in LA. And I don't think that's just LA for people. So what I want to say is, it's easy to get in situations where, especially if you're trying to grow your outlet, your creative outlet, trying to make that your job, is, of course, your passion. It makes sense, but also can come with so much strife and can really be difficult and in some ways, at times negatively impact your relationship with your creative outlet. I have found myself in situations over the past few years where I didn't feel safe performing. And I don't mean physically. I don't mean like in this corny, like, women aren't safe. I don't even want to call that corny, but like in this like Twitter super victim way. I mean, like, it didn't feel like, it felt like I was like on a chopping block or like constantly being tested, which is a thing that happens especially in LA because there's industry everywhere. There is this little like thing inside of you that can make you go, oh, anyone could be in the crowd, or like a big comic could see me and whatever, or like the booker's in the room or whatever. But I've just like felt this ongoing thing of like that you get when you do, like a lot of people get when they take finals, where it's just this fucking pressure. And instead of like, pressure is not a great place to create from. The creation should come from like joy or experience, or like it can come from several emotions, but feeling pressured to do well creating. I mean, imagine if someone had just fucking stood over Michelangelo's shoulder. Imagine if someone had just stood over Michelangelo's shoulder. Just what you doing there? What's going on with the eyebrows? Not bad. I mean, have you ever had a micromanaging job? That's what a lot of times going on stage in LA feels like, is that your manager, not your literal like talent manager, but like the manager, you have this feeling of like the manager, your coworkers are all staring there, looking over your shoulder going, well, what are you doing? What are you doing at work? What's going on here? And it's like, do your own fucking work. But something about that dissipated in the last little bit is all I want to say. And what I've realized is I need to do comedy from a place of feeling safe to be myself, feeling accepted, feeling comfortable, feeling welcome in order. And that's not like, I can't do it if I feel stressed. That's not, I'm saying for my art to be maximum potential best, it will always be best if I'm in a situation where I go, everyone in the room trusts me to do my job. They're excited about me doing my job. No one thinks I need to prove I can do the job. And I love doing the job. That's what I have to remember. Because I've also done it with writing submissions, auditions. It's like you go, it's this pressure of like, I got to give them what they want. It's like, no, just do it the way you want to do it. Experience the joy of doing it. Let go of trying to fucking give them what they want or what's the thing. That's, first of all, never going to work because, spoiler alert, the industry has no fucking clue what they want. If they did, we wouldn't all be like, I got to get more followers. They don't know what they're looking for. Sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes they don't know they're looking for something until they find it. So the best thing you can do is lean into the best version of yourself. And I guess I just had that sort of epiphany of like, when I'm doing these things, I don't need to go, God, the clock is ticking. I've got to prove to so-and-so. I'm not going to be good if I feel like I have to prove something to someone. I'm funny. I don't need to prove that. That is a fact. That is part of my essence. That is in who I am. And it's so ironic to say that after I've gone on such a long, unfunny rant. Holy fuck. But all of this to say, like, create from joy, the joy of doing it, not the fear of what will be the outcome, how it will be received. And if you are genuinely good at what you do, it will be the most well received. And if you're not good at it, I can't fucking help you. But all that to say, I'm feeling good. Unfortunately, this man in England, Wolverhampton, England, is not feeling good after he cemented his head in a microwave. I can't handle it anymore. You fucking internet viral video idiots. My boyfriend, shout out to Nader Nation, sweetest man, bless his heart, sent me a video course. And there are things that I have taken from it that were helpful, but like, it was about how to make videos that go viral. Tapping into making better reels. He's on my ass all the time about like doing more reels, not just stand up, because he thinks I'm funny and he wants the world to see that. He's, you know, likes the type of characters I do. He thinks I have funny ideas he knows that I have funny ideas that don't have to just be from the lens of stand up. But this video, and I'm sure it's so helpful to a lot of people, and they're, again, were little nuggets that I did like, okay, this is information that I can use for and think about when I am creating. But this was really like a lot of tips for if your goal is only I want to make viral videos. Not I want to be respected in my art form. Not I want people to know I create in a certain way. I want them to know my tone of voice. I want them to know I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a performer. I do comedy. I create characters. I act. I et cetera, et cetera. It was just like, what will people keep watching? And man, the advice they gave, I'm sure, is... Sorry, I just silenced a phone call and then got afraid that I'm just barking at my phone while someone's on it. They're not. It was Steph Tolov. What up, Steph? Fuck you. I'll call you back. I don't know why I said fuck you. She's never going to hear this. I'm sure the tips, as I was saying, are so great. If your only goal is like, I just want to get a bunch of views and keep getting views and shares and be viral. But like, that's not what I want. I do want that because it will help sell tickets. It helps my career if more people find me. I would love to have more of that, sure. Because that's the world we live in where you have to be active on social media for, you know, for the most part, for anyone to find you, for the industry to give a shit. But like, that's advice for people who are like, well, I want to be famous. I didn't start comedy because I want to be famous. It's weird because it's in entertainment and theoretically, like if it goes well, that probably in some capacity does go hand in hand with it. But especially if you're doing stand up, if you're like, you know, your face is part of the performance. But I did it because I like doing stand up. Like that's, I was like, this brings me joy. I feel like I'm good at it. I feel like it's sharing joy with others. It's spreading that joy. I told myself, by the way, before this podcast, I was like, this is going to be silly and light. Are you guys still listening to this? It's so hard to tap into my silly sometimes when I'm alone. I don't know. It's a mood thing, but it really does speak to why I love stand-up and have not gotten more into making like front-facing just two camera videos. Because I realize to some people what I do is deranged. Going up in front of a crowd and not only like wanting them to laugh, hoping they laugh, feeling like a failure if you're not laughed at by a crowd of people. That in itself is deranged. Nothing feels crazier to me than talking into a camera alone, doing a character alone, like with no, I don't know, I need like the energy of another person. I honest to God feel like if I had someone in here, even if I wasn't actually talking to them, it would be easier for me to be silly. Cause it's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's something though. It has to be something. Otherwise, I wouldn't need stand-up. I could just monologue in my room all day and post videos of that and feel totally satisfied. So there is definitely something with like the energetic exchange when you're being silly. It's like it fires up somebody else's soul too. But I have gone so far down the rabbit hole with this. I don't even know what the fuck I was telling you guys.
Hey, baseball fans. It's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
But this dude got his head stuck in a fucking microwave. Firefighters said they were not impressed. He had to get like an air tube, like stuck an air tube up there because he was trapped. I mean, for 90 minutes before the firefighters got there. 90 minutes with your head in a fucking cement block in a microwave. And the worst is, because this is now a news story, that probably went fucking viral. And now he's going to just keep doing shit like this. Now he has a cool story to be like, dude, fail. And be like, look how many followers I got. We live in idiocracy. I hope this man just passes away in his sleep. I hope he He went to bed and drifted away, and in solidarity, everyone just stops making their YouTube videos. All of his friends go, we have to end it for him. This went too far. I can't fucking... It's so hard. I want to love everyone and be like love and light. I really do. I want to just go, everyone's on a journey and they're doing their best. And then stuff like this comes on my radar. And it's my... I don't want to victim blame, but it's my fault. I ask you guys to post these stories for me in the Idiots Facebook group. And I want you to keep doing it. But I go, you know, we're all doing our best. And I can get like, sometimes I can feel like I'm just vibrating on a good wavelength where it's like, you know what? I don't agree with that person, but I see where they're coming from. I understand why they got there because of their life perspective. And I think we can find common ground and love each other in a microwave. You cemented your head in a fucking microwave. By the way, next story, in Australia, a man got mauled by a crocodile after jumping in a river because he was on a date with a girl and he was drunk and made a joke about how crocodiles are more likely to eat or attack a tourist or backpacker than Australians. He's 18? What is it? 18-year-old Lee DePaul. First of all, last name, P-A-A-U-W. No idea if I'm saying that right. And he's like, they don't harm Australians, just backpackers. And then he's on like maybe a first date with a woman, jumps in a river and gets attacked by a crocodile. He managed to get away, saved himself by punching the croc in the snout and scratching at its eye before it could drag him underwater, according to the reports. But he had two broken bones, gouges, his like left arm was broken. Apparently this happened after 10 cups of boxed wine, which, according to this article, Aussie slang for boxed wine is goon. I don't know if anyone can verify that. That's fucking wild. Just way to try to make something that's for sad divorcees young and fun. Sipping on some goon. I'm sure that's not how they would say it in Australia. But, dude, if I had 10 glasses of boxed wine, I'm not getting hyped up to fight a crocodile. Maybe I'll float around in a river. But I'd be dead so fast. Dude, I'm laying on a lawn and going to bed. I'm not making it to 10 cups. 10 cups? 10 cups of wine is fucking crazy. I feel like people are such alcoholics that, like, they don't have a concept of, I don't know, he's 18. That's just fucking 18-year-olds being 18. And also, those were his words. Yeah, we had about 10 cups of this wine. He probably had 3. But he's like, well, I'm going to be in the news. I got to fucking up the game. Can't sound like a pussy to all the boys. But here's the worst part. Well, there's several worst parts. Actually, I'm now realizing he told British backpacker Sophie Patterson. Okay, so I don't know. Actually, I don't know that they were on a date. He's 18. Here's what's weird. He's 18. She's 24. And he did this to impress her. He did this to impress a 20. He's like, you know what, this 24-year-old woman, and I say that lightly, because 24-year-olds, listen, you won't believe me. You won't understand until you're where I'm at. But, like, you're barely adults. You're barely a woman. I think you should make your own decisions and be treated as an adult, of course. But, man, you're going to look back and go, I was fucking... Dude, I thought I was so grown up. Does that ever end? Can someone in their 60s tell me at what point they were like, I am grown up now? And they stopped looking back a few years back and was like, what a fucking... I didn't know shit. She said that her and her friends... So I guess maybe it wasn't a date, but... They didn't actually think he'd do it. But here's what's fucked up. In this article, she's like, after the attack, there was blood everywhere and he just wouldn't stop screaming. Imagine me like, they'll never attack me. He's just rolling around writhing in death. He said that this woman, the 24-year-old woman, agreed to go on a date with him afterwards. But she said she'd have to be quite twisted to be impressed by the stunt. And I'm just rereading that. I was going to say, when I initially read that, I thought she was saying she was going to go on the date with him, but was not impressed. And I was going to be like, what is wrong with this woman? Like, did a crocodile eat her brain? But upon rereading it, I think what happened is he's lying. He's like, yeah, she said she'd go on a date with me. And they found her somehow, reached out to this backpacker. And she's like, absolutely not. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Boy, I mean, are Australians, as a test, a study been done, are Australians just like, do they have a higher level of, I don't want to say, I mean, what I'm thinking is just like, the right terminology isn't just like, are they have a higher likelihood of just being batshit crazy. But that's what I mean. But is it like a lower risk aversion? It feels like Australians are just wild in a way that is beyond like a general kooky personality thing. Like it feels like it's, is it in the way the sun shines down there? Is it something in the water? Is it the kangaroos? I've met so many Australians who were absolutely some of the most fucking fun, hilarious, a lot of them, and many of them extremely sharp and quick, but also fucking unhinged. And I don't feel like they get enough shit for the fact that they are rednecks. I feel like people go, Australians, fun, kooky, holiday, no. And it's like, they are red. This man jumped in a fucking river and nearly died fighting off a crocodile. The crocodile hunter, I mean, people make fun of people from the south, but not from down under. Well, Australians are just like the rest of us, is what I'm realizing. And what's so funny is I have moments where I go, wow, like, I think something's so redneck that I go, yikes. But then I also have moments where, like, it's in me. I know that. And I don't actively bury it. I don't, like, try to hide it. It's just sort of, I think it's come from years of bouncing around. And I guess there must have been some level of trying to suppress it in the name of, like, assimilation or acceptance. But it was never, like, don't let them know. But it comes out. It comes out. Like, when I talk about my dog, it makes me realize, like, I know that there's things, like, it's a redneck, like, tell. Like, tell me redneck without telling me you're a redneck. It makes me think about how it would be as a mom, because I'll talk about my dog. Be like, you know, she ain't that smart, but you should see her run. She's fast. I mean, like, I'll take pride in her speed. Like she's going to get a fucking scholarship and get out of this town. Because she goes to the dog park and runs really fast. She's so fast. Does anyone else... Is this a redneck thing? Is this a human nature thing where it's like inconsequential shit you're still like low-key competitive about? Like, does anyone else get in a hotel elevator and then if someone else gets in and you're on a floor that's higher than theirs, you have this little like, yeah, that's right. I've done nothing. And I just go, nah, you'll make it. You'll get there eventually. Like, it's so stupid. A random assignment of a room and I'm like, well... Good luck sleeping. I want to say one more story because this is fucking crazy. A jail. Wait, I have to see where this was. Georgia. Jonesboro, Georgia. The Clayton County Jail in The Clayton County Jail in Jonesboro, Georgia. What a fucking mouthful. I'm going to say it again. The Clayton County Jail in Jonesboro, Georgia went into lockdown after officers could not find a missing inmate who was convicted of murder. They lost an inmate, a murderer. They locked down the jail because cops couldn't find a murderer, only to discover they had left the inmate at the courthouse holding cell overnight. Full-blown panic. And this man was just in a cell at the jail. And I feel kind of dumb that this is how I found out that courthouses have jail cells. It makes total sense that they would. Of course they do. But I didn't know that till this moment. Also, it says for the follow-up, for about 12 hours, Julian Brooks Deloach was missing from the county jail where he was on loan from the state prison due to a recent misdemeanor. On loan? What does that mean? Like, I know we have this whole prison industrial complex thing that I don't understand. And, like, prisoners are doing free labor. And it's technically slavery. And I don't have time to get into it, nor the fucking knowledge. But that really makes it seem like it's, like, we're not even hiding it on loan. Like, hey, we'll trade you. Is there a trade going on? Like, it's MLB. We'll give you a murder. You give us two rapists and a litter bug. I don't understand. Also, a loan from a state prison due to a recent misdemeanor. He was convicted of a murder in 1984, but granted parole in 2010, so he wasn't even there because of the murder. Wait, now I have to look up really quick. Obviously, we're going to Google this. Hey, producer, could you Google and see what he did? I can't even cause it. I can't even see what he did because this has caused such a stir, them losing the prisoner, that's all you can find about him. Whatever. I was about to get real fucking, I'm like, oh, now we're a true crime podcast. Honestly, this brings me joy. Not that he got parole as a murderer. I don't know what he did. Murder's bad, y'all. If there's one thing I can say definitively, murder is bad. That's for sure. There's a lot of other bad stuff, but murders definitely don't do it. That's all. That's my advice for the day. So I don't know. I would love to have a survey done where people, are there people who think, I guess in cases where it'd be like, is second degree like an accidental murder? Accidental murder. Like, if murder is, if you didn't like whoops-a-daisy slip and drop a knife on somebody, which who does? I don't know. Is there an appropriate amount of time to serve for a murderer that's not the rest of your life? Where we go, you've done your time. You've had enough time out. You can come back into society despite the fact that you murdered someone. Like, no. That's, a murderer getting parole is crazy to me. I don't care. I don't believe you've been reformed. Unless self-defense, an accident, those are the only things that, like, make sense to me. But I don't even fucking know why I brought that up. It just came in my mind. Oh, the cops. Losing a criminal. It's just, like, it's just so nice. As someone with ADHD who frequently has meltdowns over losing such small things. And not only do I have a meltdown over losing the small thing, I then go into this, I'm working on not doing it, but I have, boy, will I go into a fucking self-hate, negative self-talk spiral so quickly. I can't find my keys. It's never just like, oh, where did I leave them? Whoops-a-daisy. It's like, you fucking idiot. You're a moron. You lose everything. You're worthless. Like, just onslaught of self-hate, self-criticism. And I think this is going to help me. I'm losing a marker. Like, I'm freaking out. Dude, cops lost a whole inmate. I can chill. Thank you. Thank you, Clayton County Police Department, Jonesboro Police Department, whatever the fuck you're called, for being so fucking stupid that you lost an inmate. Because now I can remind myself of that every time I'm freaking out because I can't find a cord. Where did the lens cap to my camera go? Oh, God, I'm not an idiot. I'm a human. Dude, those guys, they fucking left a murderer. They forgot a murderer. Imagine you murder someone and people still find you so unmemorable. You killed someone and they're like, whatever happened to that guy? Like, what a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare. I want to comment on a couple things and then we'll get out of here. Okay, the FDA is getting rid of fluoride. And I don't know, not getting rid of fluoride. They're like, making it so it can't be put in water supply. And I've heard that it's not good for it to be in there. I need to do more research. I shouldn't be talking about this. I just am like, maybe I'm a pussy liberal baby, but dentists are saying this isn't a good idea. And their whole thing is that fluoride is sort of like a helpful, it helps your teeth. It's good for your teeth. And it's in the water to help people who can't, like, get to the dentist all the time. Maybe they're, can't afford to go every 6 months, or they live somewhere where they're not close to dental services. And this is designed to, like, keep their teeth healthy. And I'm like, is this what's going on in Great Britain? Is that, like, why their teeth are like that? And we've just been sitting here going, British people. And it's like, no, it's because we have this thing that is poisoning us in other ways in the water. But also, dude, I paid a lot of fucking money. Dude, my mom got me Invisalign. And I have spent, I've whitened, on these chompers. If this water situation fucks up my teeth, I'm gonna be so mad. And of course, the first place to get rid of it are Utah and Florida. So sorry, Florida. I know you're also my people. But I just go like, it's gotta be super religious. It's people who homeschool their kids. It's that kind of, we don't want anyone putting anything in our body. And it's like, your kid's gonna fucking die of the bubonic plague living in a rock in George or whatever the fuck, Utah, because I don't have to pay as many taxes if my house isn't built all the way or whatever the fuck. Like, what are we doing? It does feel like, I know there needs to be a gray area, and of course you should have the choice, I guess. Can you, like, choose? Could they, like, go house by house and put, like, turn off a filter for the fluoride? At this point, I made it this far. I'm a fluorider. Man, the fact that Florida's getting rid of that is like, someone's really missing out on a big marketing campaign, either for or against it. Florida! I just, I don't know. I mean, RFK's really in there fucking around with shit. Like, not fucking around, really, is what I mean. And I'll say this, like, he's taking out a bunch of these, like, poisons and dyes that have been in food. We've just been eating poison, by the way. All these companies, people have been like, well, how are underprivileged families supposed to eat food if Nestle can't put these dyes in foods? It's like, bitch, they make that for other countries without the dye. You've just been getting fucked. You've been getting poisoned. For what? Like, are all these companies in bed with the pharmaceutical industry? This isn't funny either. But what is funny is Meghan Trainor losing weight and still trying to sing that fucking... Like, fuck you. I'm sorry. Fuck you, Meghan Trainor. You built a whole career pretending to be confident in your fat body. And all these other fat girls were like, yes, queen. Women who actually were comfortable in their bodies and owning it. They're like, yes, she's like the rest of us. Fucking giving you their money, pumping your songs. All of those women should get her residuals because she lost weight. Fine, if you want to get healthy, of course, get healthy. That's what I think loving your body, I think, is taking care of it in the way that feels good. To write a song where they go, she like shits on skinny people in All About That Bass. Somebody tell them, the skinny bitch is that. Like, to use a weight loss drug? Are you out of your fucking mind? I hope they bury her alive. I hope all of those big girls just band together and just toss her body around like a rag doll in a fucking crowd surf until she just... Never mind. I don't know what I'm saying. She has a line where she goes, yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two. And she did a live concert and she said, yeah, it's pretty clear. I got some new boobs. So it's like, not only am I skinny, I have fake tits. That's the bass I'm talking about now. It's swindling. It's scumbag capitalism. People will just pretend to be something to rake in money for people. It's like when Target sells gay shit. Not for a second did I believe that Target was really pro-LGBT. They're just like, ooh, a way to grift and make money. And like, that's what I feel like she did. You could be a big girl and be confident and just write music. But you could be a big girl, be confident and write songs about how great it is to be a big girl and fuck skinny women. And then use weight loss drugs? You fraud piece of shit. Meghan Trainor. Meghan got a trainer. Did she? I don't know. And it's like, at least cop to it, I think. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know what I would do in that situation. I can't know what I would do. Because I've never been in that situation, really. But like, just go, okay, yeah, you know what? I realized actually I was unhappy. And I was lying and I was overcompensating with the songs and the putting down other women. It's because I wasn't happy. Because that's a thing I think. There's this like whole culture of women who are like so confident. I love everything exactly the way it is. I accept myself. And they're my age and I just like... 100% good for them if it's real. I don't get it. I don't understand how we grew up in the same timeline. And I myself and so many other women I know are so fucked up about our bodies. And in this like self-doubt, self-judgment, always trying to get thinner, get fitter, get younger. Bullshit. And you're just totally... I just don't understand how. What happened? What was the difference? What was your mom like? What did your mom say to you as a child? Why did none of the media affect you? Or are you lying? And I don't like that. I don't like going, you're lying. You're lying. There's not a woman who grew up in millennial time who is overweight and is like, I love my body. No, you're overcompensating. I don't like that I feel that way. And I know some of that is my own insecure fucked upness, but like, I don't know how you, what media did you ingest? Are you from another planet? Like, I want that for all of us. I would love to get there. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how much work I have to do to not, like, at what point are you good enough? And then at that point, like, how do you become good enough and not fucking unbearable to be around for everyone else? Because they're like, yeah, we get it. You love yourself. We'll all just be here, I don't know, pulling our hair out to the end of time. Was this fun? Was this fun for everyone? I saw the funniest reel, which I can't believe I'm saying. It was just a woman who was drunk driving into her friend's driveway in a golf cart and then accidentally crashing into her friend's house. But I don't know. I need more of that. I need more silly light things in my feed, in my life. Because, I don't know, I like it. It brings me joy. So if you see those, you can also put those in the Idiot Facebook group. How about that? And maybe I'll share them here. Listen, I don't know what this was. Was it funny? Was it crazy? It was something. It was something. Listen, can't emphasize enough. If you haven't already watched my special, please, please, please go watch it. That is funny. That's all jokes, all silly, top to bottom. It's called Hi Y'all, punchup.live/JMS. It's linked in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this. And it helps me out immensely. It helps me know where you are. Thank you, creepy internet lords. So I can know to come tour there. So you can see me live. See the new stuff live. It's always better live. And I'll put more exclusive stuff on there. I have been thinking, like, maybe I should put this behind that. Excuse me. Behind my punch-up wall. Or, like, what? I don't know. I'll probably come up with something to put out there. Some type of series. I don't know. If you guys have suggestions based on stuff I've done in the past that you feel like, oh, maybe something like this, holler at me. I will announce more tour dates soon. I am in Tampa on July 3rd. Speaking of shitting on Florida, I love you guys. And I'm very, actually, genuinely excited to be there July 3rd. And going back to Anchorage and doing an actual stand-up show July 24th, right before my reunion, high school reunion, London, June 1st. And then I will be announcing an onslaught, a slew, a barrage of dates soon. And the show on the 22nd of May, which I talked about up top, I'm donating all of the proceeds of that to stop soldier suicide. For the rest of the year, my tour through the rest of the year will also benefit. I can't, unfortunately, afford to donate all of the proceeds because I am a working class comedian. I'm blue collar, just like many of you. But I will be donating a portion from every show, and I will be doubling that portion for all sellouts. So basically, my plan is to give guaranteed 10% of whatever I make. And what I make depends on tickets I sell. So help me help other people by coming to the shows, spreading the word, telling people who are in these cities that you know love to laugh, that could use a laugh, to come see me. And then if everything that sells out, I will do 20%. And then I'm going to do a thing that I have done several times in the past, just choosing random charities, but it will all be focused towards this one, where I give 50% of my merch proceeds to this charity. Stop Soldier Suicide. Look it up. Help out. Get involved. Or don't. But if you're thinking you want to get involved and make a donation right now, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Men's Warehouse is matching donations over there. So I will actually put a link to that, to their website, in the show notes as well. So if you'd like to just make a donation in honor of giving a shit, in honor of someone you love that's in the military, in honor of my wonderful brother Nathan who we lost, whatever it may be, I know that they could use that help, and more importantly, spread the word on these resources to help people. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being patient with my ignorance. Ignorance. Boy, I have cotton mouth. How did that happen? I didn't even smoke weed. Well, see you soon, idiots.
Well, there you have it. That concludes this week's episode of Hey Idiots. I hope you learned something. I hope you laughed a little. Maybe you didn't learn anything. Maybe you're terrified, but I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have not already, please go leave a rating and a review. Share this episode with your friends because everyone's a little bit ignorant sometimes. You have something to say about a guest. If there was a guest, you have something to say about my nonsensical rants, if it was just me, or maybe my rants over a guest. Come over to the Facebook group. It's called Idiots. You can see it right there linked on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JMS comedy. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being patient with my ignorance. Keep asking questions. The more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know, and the more we know, the more we can look down on others. And isn't that the point? See you soon, idiots.
Did you know 38% of Ohio's teenagers have spent money on gambling in video and online games? Items like mystery boxes, skins, and spin to win mimic gambling, putting children at a higher risk of experiencing a gambling disorder as an adult. So get in the know about youth gambling and start the conversation with discussion guides, parent resources, and more at changethegameohio.org. That's changethegameohio.org.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion, or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.